Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live, and happy Easter to you. I hope your Easter, your octave of Easter, your Easter week is going very, very well. And how much we have to celebrate this week. This is a joyful week. It's all one big celebration, this octave of Easter. And thank you for spending some of it with us. First hour, our good friend Father Mark Gandolfo is here. He is the director of vocations here, or the vocations director here in the Diocese of San Diego. And we're going to talk about vocations. If you are a person who thinks, perhaps I have a vocation, we'd love it if you would call. But if you've got a question about a member of the family, if you've got a general question about the theology of vocations or whatever, if you've got a vocation question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Father Gandolfo, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Cy. It's great to be back. I'm excited. And during the octave of Easter, no less. What a great time to be here.
Well, now, is this like a... we always know Holy Week is like the... don't ask a priest to do anything in Holy Week.
Sure.
But we asked you... We didn't give you very much of a break. Is that okay? Or
oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's not a big deal. My Holy Week was a little weird for me this year because I'm not out of parish. So I'm doing vocation work full-time. So Holy Week is a little different.
Do you get asked by the other priests, though, to come do their penance services?
Oh, yes. Penance services are big during Lent. There's so many.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody wants to go to the priest that's not their priest. Not everybody, but...
most people, yeah.
Hey, I don't know that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're meeting a lot of new people before Christmas. I mean, before Easter, yeah.
There's a priest that I know who is who's both blind and... he's blind, and so everyone wants to go to confession to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because they're like, he'll never see me ever.
Father Mark Gandolfo, our guest, is the vocations director here in the Diocese of San Diego. Your vocations questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Our kind of theme for the show is about free will and vocations, because first of all, free will is a very difficult philosophical topic. I personally am of the view you can't be a Christian if you don't believe in free will. However, I think that's basic. What Christ asks us to do is to set our will on him and on the house of the Father. And but then that we have these things like, well, God calls you to do something, or God invites you into a work, or makes you a co-worker in the vineyard in one way or another. So in that vein, Father, if I may ask you, can God force a person to be a priest? Can God make it mandatory for a person to be a priest?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's almost like we were kind of joking about it before, you know, can God strong arm you into being a priest or being a sister or in any vocation? Can he kind of strong arm you into that particular vocation? And I think that's looking at it at kind of the wrong direction, you know? Like, yes, could God get you to be a priest or a particular vocation? Sure, but it's always an invitation, right? God always invites us into a particular vocation, and we can say no to that. He will probably eventually lead us back to that because it's what we want, right? It's in the end, it is what we're looking for. And even if, you know, for example, it's kind of like using an analogy of a child. You know, you want your kids to eat their vegetables, right?
Right.
And when kids don't eat their vegetables, it's like historically, that's just something they don't do. But eventually, as they get older, they start to realize, hey, I kind of like these vegetables.
Right.
Maybe not all of them. You know, Brussels sprouts aren't for everyone, you know, but douse them in balsamic vinegar and bacon, and anyone
forget
will eat them.
Forget that. Recipes, you know? From the vocations office in the Diocese of San Diego. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So, and eventually you start to say, you know what, I like vegetables, mm-hmm. and I'll choose them myself, right?
Right.
It's kind of like in a vocation. Like, yeah, right away you might be a little apprehensive about it, and you might be fearful even of the particular vocation where the Lord's leading you. But then eventually through prayer, through discernment, through talking with people in that vocation, you start to learn, hey, maybe this is something that I can choose. And mm-hmm. God kind of helps to cultivate that and helps to lead you down that road.
Well, what do you say then as a priest, but also as, I mean, people must ask you in your capacity and, you know, in your role here in the diocese, I think I missed my vocation. Mm-hmm. I think God wanted me to do something and I didn't do it. What do you say to someone who says that?
Well, it depends. Depends on the person. You know, the beautiful thing about my role that I've been learning, so I've been in this role 8 months now since August 1st, I've really learned that there are similar situations that happen, but no two vocations are the same.
Yeah.
You know, so,
it's a personal call. Mm-hmm. Like each one is, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so some guy might come to me who's, you know, 45, who says, Father, I think I missed my vocation. And I can say to them, maybe not. You know, maybe there's hope.
Ah, yeah, I see.
But then there might be someone who's 70.
Yeah.
Who says, I think I missed my vocation.
Yeah.
And maybe with that particular individual, I have to say yes. Maybe they did miss it.
If you're fighting with your wife, is it mean to say, I think I had a vocation to the priest? You messed it up.
That wouldn't be my recommendation. I don't recommend
to
all the husbands out there, don't say that to your wives. Do not say that to your wives. Don't call me either.
Yeah, but I think there must be people who live with a kind of guilt. Like maybe they got married and they mm-hmm. think, oh, I had a vocation to the convent, or I had a vocation mm-hmm. to the religious life and I did the wrong thing. And, you know, marriage is difficult. And so maybe some of that is our emotional reaction to mm-hmm. marriage. But I know that there are people who carry guilt around mm-hmm. that at some young age they didn't do what they now think God was calling them to do.
I for sure met people who say that.
Yeah.
Who say, I really felt like God was calling me to be a priest and I just didn't listen. And I'm married now with three kids. I don't know what to do. Right? And so, okay, well, you can't go back. There's no going back. So if you can't go back, all you can do is live in the current vocation that you've said, that you have said yes to, in the best possible way.
Father Mark Gandolfo, our guest, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. This is probably the week where Father should be getting a little bit of rest. He should have his feet up. Yeah, you know, he should be watching some Padres games or whatever. I don't know what you do to recover.
I do watch Padres games
you
to
do?
Recover, yeah.
You're not a golfer, are you?
Well, okay, so.
Oh, no! Okay. He's going to tell me he's a golfer. Yeah,
no,
go ahead.
No, so, okay, so.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I'm not.
For all you people at home, the running joke is that priests golf. That's what they do. And their time off, that's the running joke. So I didn't golf before I was ordained. And then because I knew that joke, I'm aware of that joke, I said, okay, maybe I need to learn how to golf. So I've been learning. I'm not very good, and that's okay.
It's like doctors. You're a doctor. You got to golf. That's part of your calling. All right. Yeah, we'd love it to take your question, whether you are young or old, whether you are Catholic or not Catholic. If you have a question about a particular question about maybe your own vocation or about the process of how do you know if you have a vocation, or maybe a general question about what are we talking about as Catholics when we're talking about vocation. It's all welcome. 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live. Right.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from Catholic Chemistry, a dating app for Catholics. Founded by a longtime member of the Catholic Answers team, CatholicChemistry.com.
Support for Catholic Answers Live comes from the Graduate School of Theology at Christendom College. Deepen your understanding of the Catholic faith through live online graduate courses taught with uncompromising fidelity to the Church's magisterium, from Christology and bioethics to Mariology and more. This summer, you can also attend the Institute for Liturgical Formation on campus. Begin your master's degree or earn a certificate at graduatetheology.com. That's graduatetheology.com.
2026 is a jubilee year in recognition of the 800th anniversary of the passing of St. Francis of Assisi and the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament at Our Lady of the Angels Monastery in Hanceville, Alabama, has been designated as a site where pilgrims have the opportunity to obtain a plenary indulgence for themselves or a soul in purgatory. To learn more, please visit olamshrine.com/jubilee.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. A very blessed Holy Week to you and all of yours. We're glad you're taking the time to be here with us. Thank you for that. Our guest is Father Mark Gandolfo. He is the head of the vocations office here in the Diocese of San Diego. And if you have vocation questions, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Maybe you feel you might have a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. Maybe you have a question about a different kind of vocation, a vocation to marriage or something else. Whatever it is, if you have a vocation question, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I think we're going to start in Texas, Father. You all right if we start in Texas? You got nothing against Texas?
Nothing against Texas.
Okay,
no, Texas
that's good. Nice. Shayla's in Texas. Shayla, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Father Mark Gandolfo.
Hi, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Great, thank you.
So my question is that I have, it's to quickly tell my Catholic story, religious life is actually why I became a Catholic. I was doing some research on what nuns used to wear in medieval times, and I, through that, discovered that religious sisters were a thing of women who lived together but still went out and served mm-hmm. in the world. And I was like, that's what I want to do. How do I do that? And everything said, you have to be Catholic for at least 2 years. So I said, I guess I'm becoming Catholic.
I guess. Yeah, I love it.
Wow. First of all, that is a fascinating story. Yeah. That is really cool how God moved in your life that way. So what's your question?
So my question is as I am studying, learning about more of the saints, learning about more of other brothers and sisters who also have been called into the religious life, I am so curious how there are these stories, and maybe it's just because they're rare, but these stories of women who go into the religious life and then all of a sudden they have their own convent. They have their, their little history is you took their final vows and then immediately started their own place in somewhere where there wasn't one. Mm-hmm. Or, and I'm just so curious, like, what is that process? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if you would know.
Yeah, I should start by saying, contrary to popular beliefs, priests aren't omniscient. So I'm not all-knowing. I want to lay that out there. I'm not all-knowing.
But he is nischient. He's definitely nischient.
Mini-nischient. Little nischient. But I think I kind of can answer your question. But I would like to clarify first, if that's okay. There's two routes that I'm thinking you're talking about, and I want to make sure that I answer correct. Are you saying how does one particular religious order open up a new convent that is still associated with that religious order? Or are you saying how do you start a new religious order completely separate from that previous one?
Shayla?
It can go either way. They started with one, but then when they begin anew, it's a dedication to the Immaculate Heart, or
sure.
It's a dedication to this. And so I'm like, how do they just all of a sudden, boom, mm-hmm. get the approval to go do? I mean, it's amazing. And so if I feel like that's something that I want, because mm-hmm. I want more, obviously, I want more of God's kingdom and more of his warriors out in the
sure.
world, then I'm like, well, I know some places in the world where we need more of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of places in the world where we need more Jesus. That is 100% sure, 100% true. So they're very different answers. So if you're in a religious order already and you're wanting to open up a new convent, that is something that you would bring to your superior. You would bring a particular place to your superior and say, hey, I've seen a real need for our particular ministry in this particular place. That superior then typically will then begin the process of talking to the bishop and getting the approval from the bishop to have that ministry from those sisters in that particular diocese or area. And that's a process. It's not something that happens overnight. It might seem like it happens overnight, but as most things in the Catholic Church, things take time. And so there's a process to do that particular way. If the second way, if there's a particular recently a professed sister who has a particular devotion and wants to start her own religious order, that's maybe an offshoot of that particular one. That's an even longer process. And typically that requires a group. You can't just kind of do it by yourself. You need a group of people that you say want to kind of branch off and start this new religious order. Typically, that involves writing or having a rule of life. Now, you can use a previously written rule of life or create your own, which is just kind of norms for how you're going to live. You know, the rule of Saint Benedict was a normal rule of life for sisters, actually, until Saint Clare came along, and then Saint Clare wrote her own rule of life for the poor Clares, and that's sort of how we get all these different offshoots from different religious orders. But so you have to typically either find a rule of life or write a rule of life for your sisters, and the Vatican, the Rome, has to accept that, and there's a process that goes through that you go through in applying for that, and it's a lengthy process, as you can imagine. And Bishop Barron is currently trying to start his own religious order, I hear, and it's going through the process, but it takes time.
Okay, Shayla.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Shayla. What a lovely conversation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Texas is great.
Oh, you're a big fan of Texas. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, how do you feel about – I'll have you rate each state before we go to that state.
Let's not do that.
All right, we're going to South Dakota. Isaac is in South Dakota. Isaac, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Father Mark Gandolfo.
Hi, Father Mark. So I am in Spearfish, and I've got a young family. I'm turning 30. I'm in the military full-time. And my military schedule prevents me from.
What happened? Uh-oh, we lost him.
My question is.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Isaac.
I just went through a dead zone, but I'm back. Sorry.
A dead zone in South Dakota?
Resurrection.
You don't have perfect.
Many.
There's not perfect cell phone connection out there? All right.
Your connection has been raised from the dead. I love it.
Okay, so you had a time problem. That's where I think we lost you. Go ahead.
Yes, so I'm in the military. I have a calling, I feel, for the diaconate. I've spent a couple of years discerning that, talking with others. But my diocese has a requirement for the diaconate education of once a month during the school year on the first Saturday of every month. Well, that's my drill schedule. So my question is, how much should I pursue trying to, without trying, in obeisance to the bishop and what he's put forth? This program's a little old, so there's a new bishop, but how much effort should I be putting into trying to find a way around or to pursue this vocation that I feel? Or is it a case where I really am just called to wait the 10 years before I retire?
Well, I hope that's not the answer. I hope that waiting 10 years before you retire is not the answer, because oftentimes I was talking about this with a priest friend of mine literally just the other day, that oftentimes people see the permanent diaconate as a retirement thing. It's like, well, when I retire, I'll be a permanent deacon. No, I like young deacons. Young deacons are great. And so I wouldn't tell you to necessarily wait the 10 years. But at the same time, the classes are really important. I can't speak about the particular program in South Dakota because I'm not fully aware of the program that you have. But I will say, generally speaking, the classes that you go to once a month are really to help you in your spiritual growth and to help you be the best deacon, right? Diaconia, meaning service, the best servant for the people that you're will be ministering to at your parish. It might also be hard because I don't know exactly what connection to the military you have, what branch you're in, but you might be deployed, right? You might be gone for long periods of time, and that might make things a little difficult. So maybe just wait a little bit, maybe not 10 years, but I'd say wait maybe a little bit and see if things change in your diocese, if they maybe change the program to allow you maybe to view the classes on a recording or to do them in some other way. A different diocese offer different things for situations like that, because we want to see the way that God is calling you in this particular life of service as a deacon, and we want to kind of cultivate that, right? And so I think waiting at least a little bit would be a good idea, and notifying, I think you said there was a new bishop there, notifying the new bishop of your desire to start the program, but the stumbling block that's kind of keeping you from doing that.
Yeah, so... Am I correct in saying I heard you there, but then maybe talk to the bishop one time and just let him know where I'm at.
Yeah.
And let him know, put the put the bug in his in his ear about that.
Yes, yeah. Put the bug in his ear. Yes, yes. Hopefully not a poisonous bug, but or a problematic bug or anything like that. But yes, you probably should put a bug in his ear so that he's kind of aware of who you are, A, but B, aware of your desire to serve as a deacon in your diocese, and that you really do feel called by the Lord to do that.
Isaac, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for the call. I'm impressed with the number of people who have called with vocations questions. Father Mark Gandolfo is our guest. He is the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. There's just two lines open, but you can have them, 888-318-7884. Off to Iowa we go. Joseph in Iowa. Thank you for waiting, Joseph. Go ahead with your question.
So you were talking earlier about someone that missed their vocation. My question is the opposite of that. You answered a vocation and you're not sure it's right.
Yeah, so that's, I think Cy and I were kind of talking about that. I think that's something to, well, if you don't have a spiritual director, I think that's something that maybe you should talk with your spiritual director about. And if I would really want to caution you on that, regardless of what call that is, whether that be you feel like you were called or you are a priest and you feel like maybe you were actually called to marriage, or you got married and you actually felt like you were called to be a priest. Either way, regardless of the situation, I would say you really need to discern before you make any steps in the different direction, because it could be the case that you are simply being tempted, as they say, by the grass being greener on the other side. And so I would really encourage you to talk with a spiritual director if you have one. And if you don't, I recommend getting one. Also, seeking counseling in general is also really good too, because there might be something in your personal life that is keeping you from fully living out the current vocation that you find yourself in. And so those would be two things that I would highly recommend, is that either talk with your spiritual director or get a spiritual director, and then talk with a counselor to really work through some of the human aspects that you might be dealing with that maybe you haven't been able to confront just yet. If you do, maybe this is my assumption, but my assumption was is that you're married. I don't know if that's the case or not, but if that is the case, then I would really, really want you to talk with your wife, if that is the case, to see what's going on in the course of your marriage and how you can really work on that. If it comes to be that you two end up separating and getting divorced and seeking an annulment or a declaration of nullity in the church, then it's possible that you could discern priesthood. That's possible. Different dioceses have different rules on that and different of their own desires. So it could be the case that you could discern that, but that'd be years down the line, and I wouldn't want you to be so focused on that that you aren't able to really figure things out in your current situation. I hope that makes sense.
Be unordained.
I'm sorry, we missed it, Joseph.
Can you be unordained?
So the process is colloquially called laicization. It's not the official church term, but it's how we sort of colloquially describe it. It is, as you might guess, it's simply a return to the lay state. So you are still a priest because you're always a priest, by the order of Melchizedek. You can't remove that indelible mark that has been placed on your soul as a priest, but you can be removed from active ministry and returned to the lay state, and then you can end up getting married. That is possible. It's a process that you have to work with your bishop, and then actually it goes to the Vatican, it goes to the Holy See, and they are the ones, the Holy See is the one, are the ones that approve that laicization. And again, usually it's a long process, and if you're a younger priest, they usually like to wait a little while to see maybe if you decide you want to stay. If you're an older priest, sometimes it's quicker. I don't know exactly how they decide yes or no on that. That process is a little bit more behind the scenes than I'm familiar with, but I know there is a process to be returned to the lay state and get married.
Joseph, thank you. Our guest is Father Mark Gandolfo. We're talking about vocations, and quite a few calls have come in, but you are welcome to get on one of the lines if you'd like it, 888-318-7884. If you have a call about whether you're a man or a woman, whether the call is about religious life or the priesthood or Maybe it's not regarding yourself. Maybe it's regarding a friend or a family member, and you'd like some guidance about maybe talking to them about vocation. Whatever your vocation question is, 888-318-7884. I'm just realizing, Father, I've got about a minute to the break, and we probably have listeners who don't know what we're talking about when we say vocation, because not everybody listening is Catholic, of course.
Sure.
So
yeah.
What does a Catholic mean when we say vocation?
Yeah, and this is actually a question that we talk about as vocation directors. They jokingly refer to the little V vocation, the big V vocation.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes they make the joke with tradition, you know, like big T traditions, little T traditions.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. There's the big vocation that we're all called to be holy, right? We're all called to be holy, as it says in Lumen Gentium. But how is that lived? And that's lived in a particular way through either married life, through priesthood, through religious life. And then there's the little V vocation is how I do that on a daily basis.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So each day I've got to answer a vocation. I've got a call today.
You have to love your wife. Yes.
I don't mind that. You say it like that. Like that's some kind of burden that you're placing on me. But don't make me look like that, Father.
I mean, you said it, Si, not me. Hopefully your wife's watching.
888-318-7884, the number. We're talking vocations. 888-318-7884. What is the Catholic Church? Everybody seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people try to make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Last week is the busiest week of the year for priests. Maybe the end of Advent would be similar. I don't know.
I would say the end of Lent is busier because the end of Advent is Christmas. It's just one day, really.
Yeah, right.
But Holy Week is four full days, really.
Right. And then you guys are, in like we talked about, you're in parishes doing the confession services for a month or so before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a busy time, but that's all right. Father Mark Gandolfo, he's tough. He's like, I'll come in. And so here he is. He's the director of the Office for Vocations here in the Diocese of San Diego. And if you have a vocations question, we'd love to take your call. 888-318-7884. Going to Peoria, Illinois now. Benjamin is in Peoria. Thank you for waiting. Benjamin, go ahead with your question. It sounds like you need to answer a question.
Correct,
before
yeah.
you ask a question. Benjamin.
No, he's three. He has 800 questions.
He can
wait 2 minutes.
Okay.
And he probably follows them up with why. Why? Yeah.
Why, Daddy? Why?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I feel called to discipleship people, and not really sure where to go or how to look at that. And then when you're ready, I got a wrench to throw in there for you. But it's kind of a generic question. Just like, I feel called to disciple people. What are some resources? What are some ways I can do that?
Yeah, I guess I would ask for a clarification on exactly what you mean by discipleship people. I have a guess on what I think you're referring to, but I assume you're not wanting to start a cult. So what do you mean when you say you want to discipleship people?
What I've experienced so far in my life is just coming alongside people and helping them to grow and to follow God and just live, you know, the Christian life more fully and answer. So one of the big struggles I had was like, you know, growing up in the church, like I didn't know how to live out my faith, or I had trouble, you know, turning my faith into my faith versus my parents' faith, you know?
Yeah.
So really, really helping people to live out their faith and how to do everyday life as a Christian, you know, what does that mean? What does that look like? Kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's a book that I often recommend to people who are just looking how to be a better disciple in general in whatever vocation they're finding themselves in. Introduction to Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales is really good. I usually recommend that one to people because I think it's just generally for a person in any vocation how they can live out a holier life and grow in their relationship with the Lord. So that's one book that I would recommend. But also just, finding a way how you can be a good man of God and be that example to the different people in your parish, right? As you can get involved in different ministries at your parish and really be that, either that listening ear to people who need it or that individual to help get things done at the parish, I think are both really important aspects that you can do to live out that call for discipleship. One of the beautiful things that I see is I see these amazing Catholic men and women who are working in regular secular fields and who really bring their faith as a strong component to their daily routine at that secular institution, whether that mean you are a lawyer or whether that means you're a nurse or whether that means whatever it is, they really, really shine their Catholic faith in those particular fields that becomes like a beacon for other people looking to also grow in their faith. You know, I love the line in the scriptures, right? A city set on a mountain will be seen, right? It's not hidden. And so we're meant to sort of be that. We're meant to be that light to the world, which is very dark. And we're meant to be that beacon of hope to people, not because it's our light that's shining, but it's because we are reflecting the light of Christ in our life, in every moment of our life. So how can you be that? How can you be that reflection of Christ in every moment of your life? And Introduction to Devout Life is a helpful tool, I think.
Okay.
And Catholic.com has a lot of good resources too, I hear.
There we go, Father. Finally, you got that right. Okay. You good?
So can I throw my wrench into the question?
Oh, go ahead. Sure. Throw that wrench. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm not Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a wrench.
It's not really a wrench. Yeah. It's not really a wrench at all. There's an easy.
We have a cure for that, right?
Yeah, there's a real easy cure for that. Cy's probably referring to you entering a program to become Catholic. I'm guessing your wrench is a little heavier because maybe you don't want to necessarily become Catholic. But for me, if it's A, if you want to become Catholic, I'd say go to your local parish and find the program, the Order of Christian Initiation for Adults. It's usually great to be in a group of other people who have questions and are thinking about becoming Catholic. That's one route. If you say, Father, I've looked into it and I do kind of want to become Catholic, but I don't know, then I would say, well, maybe continue to pray about that. But also, you can still read Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. It's still a great book for Christians in general, whether you're Catholic or not. But I would highly recommend, obviously, as a priest, if I didn't do this, it'd be kind of bad for me. But I'd highly recommend, obviously, becoming Catholic. That's, I think, you should consider that highly.
What do you think, Benjamin?
Likelihood of me becoming Catholic I don't see it happening. There are too many issues in Catholicism that just I don't know.
Well, what about reading the introduction to the About Life? Because
that I am very interested in.
Yeah, he's a wonderful person.
I've been wanting to read more about the Church Fathers, anyway. So that's right up where.
Well, he's a little later than the Church Fathers.
Yeah, he's a little later than the Church Fathers, but.
But you're gonna love him. He's an extremely lovable and helpful person, Francis de Sales. So Benjamin, I hope you'll call again. Call anytime. We'd love to continue the conversation. But on we go, and thank you very much for the call. We're going to New York now. Saul in New York. Saul, thank you for waiting. Got a question?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I recently reverted back to the church last year, and I have been maybe feeling that God might be calling me to a religious life, mm-hmm. but I am 37 now. Mm-hmm. I just turned 37, and I wanted to know if that's too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, happy birthday, I guess, if you said you just turned 37. We'll start by saying happy birthday. Cy brought cake. I don't know if you like cake, but happy birthday.
If I bring it, I eat it, Saul.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry about that, but yeah, that's just how that goes.
Sorry, because I ate the cake. Depends on the religious order is the short answer. Depends on what order you feel like you're called to. They all have different charisms, right, or different modes that they, things that they focus on, particular ministries that they focus on. And so I would recommend if you are feeling called to religious life in general, to kind of see what charism you feel like the Lord is calling you to, and then see if that particular religious order has an age cutoff. Some of them do. Some of them prefer younger women and men to enter. Some of them don't. Some of them will take almost any age of men or women to enter. And so I would say it depends. You might be too old for some, but you might be perfect for others. So I think it depends on the order that you are looking into.
What do you think, Saul?
Okay. Yes. Thank you so much. That answers my question.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I'll tell you what, as a welcome home present for coming back to the Catholic faith, if you'd like a little beautiful little book we have called Secrets from Heaven on the parables and sayings of Jesus, I'd be happy to send it to you. We can send it to you in New York if you just give us an address. You just hang on. Edgar will pick up the line and you can give him an address and we'll send you Secrets from Heaven if that is something that you would like. We got to take a quick break, right back with more questions on vocations for San Diego's Director of the Office of Vocations, Father Mark Gandolfo on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Alexian Brothers is a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. For 800 years, these Catholic brothers have offered a prophetic and daring response to the gospel. Serving Christ in the sick, the poor, and the dying. Is God calling you to be a courageous disciple? If you feel called to total self-giving as a religious brother in the mission of Jesus, call our vocations office at 847-264-8703. That's 847-264-8703. AlexianBrothers.org.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
He captivates viewers with thought-provoking political and cultural reporting that resonates with Catholics and people of faith.
The Pope made strong statements on the life issues, and then he called out surrogacy, which we rarely hear about anywhere in the culture. He said surrogacy distorts the family. Is this the clear moral voice of the Church that is needed in this moment?
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, tonight 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Happy Easter to you. Thanks for spending a little bit of your Easter season with us here, the octave of Easter. And we're very happy that you're here. We're talking vocations. Maybe the spirit has moved over Holy Week or Lent. And was that the spirit has moved dance? What was that?
Well, it's great because the camera immediately cut to you and I did it. So no one at home saw it.
I should have just kept my mouth shut then, which is usually a good policy for me. I apologize for that. If you've got a question about vocation, we'll do our very best to get you an answer. Robert's in Cincinnati, Ohio. Robert, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your vocations question.
I have a question from listening to Catholic radio, because I've heard that those men who are Roman Catholic that are not priests or not married can have an equally fulfilling life as those who are. And I'm wondering about that, because there is an equivalence here between being a priest and a married man. There's a commitment involved. And those who are wanting to have a kind of fulfillment and self-giving, they won't have that kind of commitment. How can they have an equally fulfilling life?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question, Robert. And you're really hitting the nail on the head on something that I've been talking about with a lot of people, a lot of my cohort among the vocations directors of the United States, whom I'm friends with. A lot of them, some of them are under the opinion that consecrated single life or just single life in general is not a vocation. And then some will say, well, no, it is. And in my talking with them, I kind of came up with this distinction. Every vocation is directed towards someone else, right? You're not directing from yourself. You're literally directed towards someone else. In marriage, that makes sense. It's towards your spouse. In priesthood, it's towards the people of God and towards your service to them and the celebration of the sacraments. And then you say, okay, well, then who is single life directed to? Who am I directing towards as a single person? And the answer is if you are taking it as a real vocation that you're being called to, it is directed towards someone else. So there has to be some way that you are directing your life so that it's not about you, but it's about that other person. You might say, God, right? I have to direct my life completely and solely to God and to the service of Him and His church in a particular way. So you have to give yourself to something else. And so typically how that looks, I know some people who are consecrated single or even consecrated virgins in some instances where they've made vows before the bishop, or they've made promises before a sort of a smaller group where they're living out a radical lifestyle, either of poverty in their own personal life, or they become such a devoted member of their parish community that's what they're giving their life to. So it's not just, you know, I'm going to live in a penthouse apartment and drive a really nice car and do all the sins that I want. Look, I'm living the single life. That's not a vocation, but a vocation where you are giving yourself completely in a particular ministry or to a particular group or a charism. That is where you can see the vocation of single life being truly fulfilling, right? Because it's not about you. It's about how you are giving yourself.
Robert, I'm going to leave it there only because every single line full, and I've only got Father for about 13 or 14 more minutes. So I'm going to try to get as many on as I can to get their vocations questions answered. We're taking vocations questions this hour on Catholic Answers Live. And Adam is in Cincinnati, Ohio. Adam, glad to have you. Go ahead with your question.
Good evening. This is kind of from an Eastern Catholic and Eastern Orthodox perspective. Years ago in the East, they would have the village priest, if you will, and the parson who had the family, and his sons, especially the firstborn, similarly in the Bible, the firstborn, like Jesus being the first fruits, would be ordained into the ministry, if you will. And so you would get last names like Popovich, so son of the priest. That's in a Slavic language. Nowadays, it seems like we have so much emphasis on for just priests and parsons, and going into the seminary, you need to have like a bachelor's and a master's, and yes, they'll accept people without bachelor's, but then they require you to do all this extra work. and they're not being trained to be bishops. I get the fact that we need education and formation, but why so much? It's just very disheartening, especially for somebody who's my age, and I'm not getting any younger.
So why so much, Father?
Yeah, and that's a common question. Why do I need all the schooling? Can't I just be a sacrament dispenser, basically? And that's what some guys are asking and looking for. I mean, the reality, though, is we get so many questions from people who come to the parish, and they're curious on how they can grow their spiritual life, and they're curious on how you know, these questions of theology and philosophy and church teaching and all of these different questions that they bring us. And we can't have all the answers. Sure, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm not omniscient, but they like to have some answer, right? They want you to have some answer. And a priest in seminary used to say that as priests, you're expected to be an expert in the mystery of God. And I think that's a good line, and it takes time to grow in that, in their relationship with the Lord. And if we just kind of tried to push guys to become priests, then they can't really discern well. And maybe they'd end up leaving shortly afterwards. And so we want to make sure they have time to discern that well. And the schooling helps to give us that time, so they're not just sitting around, that they're also growing in the four pillars, as they say, of formation is spiritual, intellectual, pastoral, and human. And so you're trying to grow in all four pillars of formation throughout your time in seminary. Academic is not the sole focus of this, the time spent in seminary. It's the all four pillars. And so the academic is only one part of it, but you kind of want your priest to be knowledgeable. And that takes kind of time to grow in that.
And again, I will leave that there, Adam, because just a few minutes left and lots of folks still on the line. Jeff's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. We always hear about you on election night, listening on 1260 AM. Jeff, thank you for the call. Go ahead with the question.
And thank you for taking my phone call. My phone call relates to the ministry of being an acolyte, a senior acolyte, an adult acolyte. And I would hope that you can just give some guidance and some insight into that specific ministry. Because it's my understanding that it's more than simply being, and I say this respectfully, a glorified altar boy. And I was an altar boy for my school age years. But as a senior adult now, I'm looking to participate more fully in the ministries of my parish. And this particular ministry had some appeal. Do you have any comments on the ministry of acolyte? Because not many parishes have senior acolytes.
Correct. And I do want to make a distinction, because you're using the word acolyte, which in the church is a role that actually the deacon kind of invests you with, that you are brought into. So as seminarians, when you're going through the process, you become an acolyte officially, where you make kind of promises before the bishop as an acolyte. So I know you're not referring to that, at least I assume you're not. Most of the time, parishes will have a senior server that they're referred to as an acolyte, which usually gives them more, because they're more knowledgeable about the Mass, they know kind of more of the ins and outs of what's happening, and they can kind of guide younger servers. I assume you're referring to more of that than sort of an instituted acolyte. And I think that's actually a very important role. I too many times have heard guys who are in high school or in college who I tell, hey, you should become an altar server at your parish. And they say, Father, that's for kids. Just little kids do that. Not adults. Adults don't altar serve. And I'm saying, well, yeah, they do. They do altar serve because you're such a witness to the younger generation of children who are serving at the Lord's altar. And so if your parish has adult altar servers, I would say do it. I would say do it and be that example for the younger kids who are altar serving with you on how to be reverent in the service of the liturgy and how to really adore our Lord present as the holy sacrifice of the Mass is occurring, and to see how that witness can really help them. Honestly, in my role as vocations director, if I had more adult altar servers, I think that would help in my role as vocations director to help promote more vocations of the priesthood if they don't see it as something that only little kids do.
Okay, Jeff?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Off to Houston, Texas we go. Steve is in Houston, Texas. Steve, thank you for the call. Go ahead with the question.
Good afternoon. Absolutely blessed to speak with you.
Well, thank you.
You had a caller wondering whether or not we could have as fulfilled a life being single as that of a married person or a priest. And I can assure you that I certainly do. I belong to a sodality. I spent time volunteering at a television station where I help people find answers to the problems of life they're facing. I go to nursing homes. I spend time taking people to and from doctors. I have time, and I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have until 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning to read and pray, completely undisturbed, and I can pray throughout the day. In fact, I would say that I have more time to spend with Christ than most priests do, who have an entire parish to take care of. I find it very fulfilling.
Father?
I think that's great, and that your witness is exactly what I was trying to explain to our previous caller. I think that was Robert who was asking that, and I think you are spot on, because you've given yourself, right? You've given yourself to someone other than yourself. You've really given yourself to these various ministries and these ways where you are a true service to the community, and I think that right there is the way to do it. That's a great example. Thank you for calling in.
What a beautiful call, a beautiful life, Steve. I want to give you a copy of that book that I gave out earlier called Secrets from Heaven, if you'd like it. It's a reflection on the parables and sayings of Jesus by our good friend, Father Sebastian Walsh. If you'd like a copy of it, would you just hang on? Edgar will get an address and we'll send it off to you. I want to get another question in. Jesse in North Carolina wasn't able to stay on the line, but she was listening on 5:40 a.m. there in North Carolina and said, I'm a Protestant. Why is celibacy a requisite for the priesthood?
Yeah, this is, it's a fun one. Celibacy is always a good question. You know, some people think that more people would want to become priests if we dropped the celibacy requirement, that if we had people get married, we'd have people lining up the door to be priests. And I don't know if that's entirely true, but celibacy is a discipline in the church. So it's not something that is divinely required. You know, it's not divine law. It is simply a discipline. And the church has seen the positive fruits of that discipline over the centuries. And so it's maintained that because of that fruit, because it's seen the positive way that a life truly given completely to the service of the people of God and to Christ himself in celibacy has bore a ton of fruit. And so, and I can see that even in my own life as a priest, I'm able to get up and go whenever someone calls.
Yep.
And I don't have to worry about, my wife, my kids, I'm taking Johnny to soccer practice. My wife and I have date night every Thursday. And so now I can't go on date night because I have to go and care for these particular people in my parish. I see the positives of it for sure. I also see the ways that I'm so deeply connected to Christ and his living a life of celibacy while here on earth, that being more configured to him, I think is the way to go, in my opinion. And if I can do that in my life with my celibacy, I'm going to do that.
Jesse, thanks for the call and for the question. Call back another time. We'll do our very best to get you on the air. I'm sorry we weren't able to do that today. Christ himself and St. Paul both recommend celibacy. It's striking to me when people seem to have an objection to it, when the Lord himself and the Apostle Paul, and probably others that I'm not thinking of, but those two I know are explicitly say, if you can, this is the way.
Yeah, exactly.
To do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so impressed with my mother passed a year ago this month. And in her last months, there were several times where we called the priest for the... It is amazing that these priests, I don't know what they're doing. Like I'm like, is Father just like watching a baseball game and he gets a call and he's like, I'm going. And he go, cause it would be 20 minutes later, there's Father at her bedside giving her the last rites.
I should say, we're not just watching baseball games. That's, but typically when we get the call, we drop whatever it is we are doing.
Yeah.
So if we have an appointment, we'll call to reschedule. Whatever it is, we figure out how to get there.
Yeah, it's that is a beautiful aspect of your life as a priest that I came to really appreciate. Father Mark Gandolfo, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Happy Easter to everyone.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't ask for your blessing. Could you give us your blessing and our listeners as well, Father?
Sure, sure. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I tell you what, we're going to go at another hour coming up. Tom Nash is going to come in here. We can ask him anything you want about the Mass. You want to stay for that one. I know you do.
I mean,
you
I'm going to celebrate the Mass. So.
Oh, you're heading out right now to do that?
Well, for you guys. So.
Thank you, Father. Yeah. All right, Tom Nash coming right up. Catholic Answers Live.